Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our devotional lessons based on the Gospel of John. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this great privilege and opportunity to open up thy very words, Lord. Father, we pray our lesson today would be a blessing and encouragement and strengthen the saint of God listening today. And Father, lest we forget the lost soul that may be listening today, that's never trusted Jesus Christ shed blood and nothing else to save them, that this would be the very day that they would believe in their heart that Christ died. He died for their sins, rose again the third day, and they're trusting in his shed blood and nothing else to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and to secure them a home in heaven. And with the angels in heaven, we will rejoice over one sinner that repenteth this day. We commit this time into thy hand, and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, our lesson starts out today in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and verses 22 to 26. So turn with me, if you will, and I hope that you have your King James Bibles with you today, and we'll read those verses in John chapter 10, verses 22 to 26. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. There are a number of things recorded in verses 22 and 23 that introduce this message of our Lord. First was the place. It was in Jerusalem, the holy city. Second, there was a great number present to observe the feast of dedication. Third, it was winter time. Those who question the deity of Jesus were church-going people who gathered around him as he walked in the porch of the great temple of Solomon. They said to Jesus, If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus quickly answered them and reminded them that he had told them before. And then he said, The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. The people said, Tell us plainly. Much of the Bible is a mystery to us, and much of the program of God is a mystery to this world. But there are some things that are plain to see. First, I'd like to say this. God's mercy is plain to see. God's mercy is plain to see. The manner in which people have always lived and the way people live today in defiance of God, it is just plain to see that God is a merciful God. After God created man and placed him in the perfect environment of the garden, man disobeyed his Creator. Willingly, he fell in sin, yet God was merciful to him. We look back to the generation of Noah's day and plainly see the mercy of God. Man had become so wicked that it repented God he had made him. God determined to destroy man from the face of the earth, yet Noah found grace. God was merciful to spare him and his family. We see the complaining, murmuring Israelites out of Egypt. God should have consumed them with fire, yet he was merciful and spared them. These are but a few examples of the mercies of God. But we can go a step further and closer home. We can see ourselves and how we deserve the worst. Yet God has been merciful to us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, we read this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Tell us plainly. It is plain to see that God has been merciful to every one of us. Second, I'd like to say this. God's will is plain to see. God's will is plain to see. We may question a lot of things in this life, and much of life may be a mystery to us. But there is one thing that is plain for this whole world to see, and that is God's will for man. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 3 and 4, we read this, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." You see, the cross of Calvary is the greatest exhibition this world has ever known. It is the greatest proof that God could give his love for sinners in his will to have all of them saved. This solves every question as to whether God would save anyone. We're reminded in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. We read this, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Again they said, tell us plainly. My dear friend, it is plain to see that God loved us enough to send his only Son to die for us on the cross. Third, I'd like to say this. God's grace is plain to see. God's grace is plain to see. The same grace that saves a sinner is the same grace that keeps the sinner from falling back into sin. It is amazing that Satan will always point out those who started out and didn't last. But he never points out those who have stood true day in and day out. No one could have described it better than when John Newton wrote the song Amazing Grace. The verse says, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." They said to Jesus, "Tell us plainly." My dear friend, it is plain to see the grace of God at work in the lives of God's children. Fourth, I'd like to say this. God's judgment is plain to see. God's judgment is plain to see. We can doubt a lot of things about the Bible and make fun of the messages of God's servants. But there is one thing we can't deny that is plain to see. That thing is death, and death brings us to God's judgment. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, we're reminded of this. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Again, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." You see, man can run from God in this life and give himself wholly to the wishes of the devil and feel that he has done well. But the day will come to everyone when we must yield to the monster of death. Death will bring us face to face with God for judgment. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, we're reminded of this as we read, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Again, they said to Jesus, "Tell us plainly." My dear friend, it is plain to see that every time you look into the face of a person that has died, you are conscious of God's judgment. Before we move on to our next passage of study, let me say this. Plain to see, sinner friend, it should be plain for you to see that you need Jesus. Now, we're still in the Gospel of John chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 27 to 30. So let's turn there right now. Now, let's look at verses 27 to 30 in John chapter 10 together. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Jesus here is speaking of a sheep and how they know his voice and follow him. He speaks of the gift of God, which is eternal life. Jesus then describes the security of every child of God and how we are in his hand. He said that no man could pluck us out of his hand. The explanation of this great security is given in our text when we read, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all." Jesus said, "My Father." And Jesus is our elder brother. Therefore, God is my Father, and I can say with Jesus, my Father is greater than all. Let me present four examples of this great truth found in God's Word. First of all, Moses found him to be greater than the powers of this world. Moses found him to be greater than the powers of this world. When God sent Moses down into Egypt to deliver his children, Moses asked God this question, "Who shall I say sent me?" God said for Moses to tell them, "The great I am sent him." In Exodus chapter 3, in verse 14, we read this. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. When Pharaoh finally let them go, he pursued them with his mighty army. The Israelites were afraid and cried to Moses. Moses talked to God about it, and God gave the answer. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, we read this. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. My dear saint of God listening today, that's what we need to do sometimes, is to fear not and stand still and see how the Lord is going to work in our lives. Each day, it seems that man has unleashed some new power on this earth. There are some great forces of power at work in this world. But we can still declare as believers that my Father is greater than all. Second, I'd like to say this. David found him to be greater than the people of this earth. David found him to be greater than the people of this earth. When the giant Goliath stood up and defied the God of Israel and mocked the children of Israel, David, the young shepherd, determined to fight him. Taking a sling and five stones, he went in the name of the Lord and he slew the scoffer of God. 1 Samuel chapter 17 in verse 49, we read this. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. My dear friends, there are many scoffers of God today. They only deny the Word of God. They openly deny the Word of God. They laugh at the children of God. But my Father is greater than the scoffers of this world. Amen. In Psalm 37, verses 1 to 2, we are reminded, Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Third, I'd like to say this. Elijah found him to be greater than the pull of the world. Elijah found him to be greater than the pull of the world. When Israel had turned from God to the worship of Baal, Elijah challenged them to a contest on Mount Carmel. He said, "Let the true God answer by fire." The prophets of Baal cried and cried without answer. But Elijah prayed a prayer of 63 words, and fire came down from heaven. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38, we read this. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. You see, my dear friend, the majority of this world have turned away from God and have yielded to the pull of this world. One thing that the gods of this world can't do, and that is answer from on high. Our Father, who is greater than all, helps our every need. Amen. Fourth and finally, I'd like to say this. Legion found him to be greater than the prison of this world. Legion found him to be greater than the prison of this world. There was a man of the Gadarenes possessed with the demon so much that he was cast out of the city. This man, he dwelt among the tombs. He would cut himself, and no man could bind him. It was a glorious day when Jesus came by. The demons cried out against Jesus, saying, "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to come out. And in Mark chapter 5, verse 15, we read this. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. For every demon-possessed soul, here is the good news. My Father is greater than the demons of hell. Amen. In John chapter 8, verse 36, John 8, verse 36, we are reminded, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Yes, my dear friend, greater than all. Sometimes it just seems as if the devil has everything and everybody under control. But the message still rings out clear and true. My Father is greater than all. Amen. Again, we're still in John's Gospel, chapter 10, and I want us to look at verse 28. Verse 28, John chapter 10, we read, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life." The phrase "eternal life" that Jesus offers is in direct opposition to eternal death that awaits those who reject the gift of God. You see, the importance of eternal life cannot be expressed by mortal man, but eternal life is based upon all that is eternal. With these two words, eternal life, let us consider five things that make this truth so real. First, I'd like to say this. Eternal life comes from the eternal Father. Eternal life comes from the eternal Father. In Jeremiah chapter 10, in verse 10, we read this. "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King." You see, God is from everlasting to everlasting. Time means nothing with God, for with Him time is just the eternal present. We speak of yesterday and tomorrow, but with God it is just today. The God who inhabited eternity is the source of eternal life. My dear friend, this God who loved the world lost in sin provided a way for us to inherit eternal life. And a soul that is born again is born of God. We're reminded of this in John's Gospel, chapter 1. In verses 12 and 13 we read, "But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Second, I'd like to say this. Eternal life is offered through the eternal Son. Eternal life is offered through the eternal Son. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we read this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The one who said, "I give unto them eternal life," spoke with eternal authority. No man durst question his authority, the one whose testimony verifies his authority. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, Revelation 1, 8, we read this, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Eternal life does not come through the church that is up and down, through the preacher that is human and full of fault, through the church ordinances that vary in every church. But eternal life is through the eternal Son of God who died on the cross to bridge the gap between heaven and hell. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, we read this. Ephesians 1, 7. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." My dear friends, that's all the time we have today on the Pastor's Study. We'll pick up next time here in John chapter 10. But till we meet again on the Pastor Study, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today. Until we meet again, may God richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.